Subprime strife, sinking stocks.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. The crisis in the credit markets is getting worse, and that has stock markets around the world in free fall. The Dow and the S&P each lost 3% yesterday, and shockwaves were sent around the world. Overnight, markets in Japan, Hong Kong, and Australia fell by more than 2.5%. The Bank of Japan added more than $8 billion of cash into the markets in Tokyo to avoid a credit crunch. At the root of the problem is the meltdown in investments backed by mortgages that have failed. Let's bring in King Penniman. He is president of bond research at KDP Advisors. King, this is spreading like a brush fire.
The problem in the credit markets right now is clearly we're starting to see a lot of these instruments cannot be priced. People don't know what they are. They're complex. They're opaque. So we don't think we've seen the bottom of this problem yet in terms of a financial crisis.
So, and then how might it spill over into becoming an economic crisis?
The economic crisis is a tightening of credit, and as a result, good companies, companies that need to conduct business, can't obtain financing that they need that would hurt the economy and its ability to expand going forward.
Now, we have seen central banks around the world, beginning yesterday in Europe, just pump money into the banking system to alleviate any type of stress that may be created. To what extent do you think the Fed is now pressured to move interest rates lower as soon as next month?
I think the perception has been that the Fed likes what's going on in terms of bringing out excess liquidity.
Well, I just want to understand that. So you're saying that what is happening in the financial markets is ultimately a good thing right now?
We think that as long as it doesn't spread out to what you're saying, a full financial crisis, but to the extent that the excessive use of leverage, the availability of credit to people and companies that perhaps didn't deserve it, continuing that going forward, we just would have made a larger mess. To the extent that we bring back discipline, we'll actually, in the long term, we'll create more stability and we'll extend the economic cycle.
How did we get here? Who is responsible for this mess ultimately?
Ultimately, I mean, the investors ultimately are responsible for the deals and the purchases that they made. People felt that they were able to structure deals, alternative strategies, private equity, LBOs, to try and get incremental yield. And when you started to see the unwinding and the margin calls and the unleveraging, you had forced sales, and that's what we're seeing in the marketplace today.
King Penniman is president of KDP Investment Advisors. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Doug.
So the Dow drops 387 to 13,270, the S&P down 44 to 1453, and the NASDAQ giving back 56 at 2556.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Duke University's Fuqua School of Business Executive MBA programs, where working professionals earn Duke MBAs from locations around the world. Online at DukeExecutiveMBA.com. Science and technology reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com.
Maybe you'll be heading to the beach, lake, or pool this weekend to cool off. Will there be a lifeguard on hand to keep you safe? If so, you're lucky because there's actually a shortage of lifeguards in this country. Pat Loeb reports.
It's a perfect day on San Diego's Mission Beach. Clear skies above, and the water temperature is 73. Allie Templeton keeps her eyes fixed on waves full of swimmers.
Yeah, I love it. Nerve-wracking. It was very stressful when I first started, but it's fun. A lot of fulfillment out of it.
Templeton is spending a lot of time on duty this year. San Diego is having trouble staffing its guard chairs. People unexpectedly dropped out of training after being hired. Communities across the U.S. report they're short of lifeguards, too. The Red Cross trains more lifeguards every year. This year it trained 200,000. But demand keeps growing even faster, especially at water parks. Chris Brewster is president of the U.S. Lifesaving Association. He says there's a simple economic remedy.
The pay, the benefits, the working conditions need to be attractive enough that you get the numbers of people that you need.
Brewster says lifeguarding often pays like other summer jobs, but it's far more demanding. First of all, you have to be a strong swimmer. San Diego lifeguards have to swim 500 meters in 10 minutes just to get an interview. They undergo rigorous training. Then, Brewster says, comes the most daunting part, the responsibility of sitting in that chair.
Let's say you're hired for the summer to scoop ice cream, and you do a bad job. Well, the worst thing that happens is you drop a scoop of ice cream on the floor. If you're a lifeguard and you do a bad job, somebody dies.
Some pool and camp managers employ foreign students on summer work study visas as lifeguards, but that pool may be drying up as the number of visas available goes down on September 30th. San Diego lifeguard officials say they may start paying current lifeguards to recruit their friends. Nick Lerma is a Marine Safety Lieutenant.
The more challenged we are, the more creative we have to get, and the more we have to offer incentives.
Lerma says the pay is $16 an hour, but he says the rewards go far beyond dollars and cents.
To be able to hand somebody back their life and know full well that they would have otherwise died is, you know, it's a powerful thing.
In San Diego, I'm Pat Loeb for Marketplace.
Republicans in South Carolina moved up their presidential primary to January 19th, forcing other early voting states to do the same. And balloting could be happening as soon as December. As Steve Tripoli reports, that could boost local economies.
Iowa official Sean Rollins says the state's 2004 caucuses brought in between $50 and $60 million.
I would assume that adding the Republican side in would add tens of millions more onto that economic impact.
When New Hampshire last checked in 2000, their first-in-the-nation primary was worth $230 million. Sounds like a lot, but New Hampshire economist Dennis DeLay says it's just another event.
It's not much larger than running a NASCAR race at the International Speedway.
And DeLay says the winnings aren't widely spread.
The parts of the economy that really benefit are primarily the media outlets, some of the hotels, and maybe commercial retail space.
New Hampshire law says the state's primary always has to be the nation's first. But if other states ignore that and somehow manage to nudge ahead, DeLay says New Hampshire's economy wouldn't miss out on much. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening and enjoy the weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.